Praise the Lord, everyone. It is good to be here tonight. I don't know, the weather is looking like it might be a little iffy in a little while, but praise God. Whether rain or shine, we will praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to open with a prayer here tonight. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast brought us here once again so that we can come together and worship Thee, sing Thy praises, glorify Thy mighty name. For we know that there is none greater than Thee. We know that there is no name greater than Thy name. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast given us this opportunity to worship Thee, to sing Thy praises, to study Thy word. I pray, O God, that Thou would preside over this entire service here tonight. I pray that Thy perfect will would be done. I pray that Thy Spirit would be here upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, I pray. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there's a chorus that we actually sang the last couple of services, and I'd like to sing it again, number 159 in the chorus book, Seek Ye First, number 159. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Shall not live by bread alone.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to number 11 and sing, "Let's Just Praise the Lord." Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just you know, Jesus came and he sought us and he found us and he set us free. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's go to number 28 and sing, "I'm so glad that Jesus set me free." Number 28. "I'm so glad Jesus lifted me." Number 28. "I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus Jesus, set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus let me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to number 108 and sing, He Set Me Free, number 108. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Hallelujah, He set me free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God.
Praise the Lord.
Well, let's go to number 66 and sing, Jesus, I'll Never Forget What You've Done For Me. Number 66. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. You know, we do serve a wonderful, compassionate, almighty, all-powerful God, and He is able to deliver thee. We're going to go now to our hymnal and turn to number 175. He is able to deliver thee, number 175. Excited about, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yes, He does set His people free. He does deliver His people. He always has, and He always will. Praise God. Well, I think what we're going to do now is take up the collection. Matthew, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. Thanking thee, O God, for thy many blessings. Thanking thee for thy sustaining power, which has kept us. We know that we are here tonight only by thy mercy and thy grace. And we appreciate all that thou hast done for us. I pray, O God, that thou would continue to lead us, direct our steps, show us what we must do in the future, and give us thy great wisdom. For we need thy wisdom so very much. We know that without thee we can do nothing. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night. And I pray that thou would also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we do have a prayer request here, and this is from Brian. It says, please pray for my granddaughter Maya, as she is being tormented by many evil spirits and needs to be set free. And tonight is fitting. Well, we were just singing about that, weren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. The Lord is able to set us free, and we're going to pray for Maya right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer tonight on behalf of Maya, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven, praying, O God, that thou would speak to her soul, praying, O God, that thou would set her free from every oppressive spirit, from every evil thing that would be thrown her way. We pray, O God, that thou would deliver her completely, for we know that thou canst do all things, and we know that thou art the great deliverer. We know that evil spirits cannot stand in the presence of thy holy name, and we pray, O God, that thou would speak to her soul, set her free, fill her with thy spirit, O God. Fill her with the Holy Ghost, we pray. We pray, O God, that thou would equip her to fight off these tormenting spirits, O God. For we know that by thy strength we can overcome all things. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank thee, O God, for thy promises. We embrace thy promises. We pray that thou would draw Maya unto thyself. Help her to reach out to thee, O God, to trust in thee, to believe on thee fully and completely. For we know, O God, that thou truly can set her free. And we ask this and pray this tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started with our Bible study tonight. And we're going to go to number 278 and sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Number 278. Sweet. hope that got you all ready to study the Word, because that's what we're doing next. Praise God. We're going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise God.
That way, is that okay?
I think I should be able to see you.
Okay.
Well,
it was over quite a ways, I guess, so I moved it. Mac is there.
Okay.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, praise the Lord. We do have something to rejoice about tonight. You know, believing how we've been delivered and set free and how we could have been. Oh, how different life could be if we were still bound by the whims and the hold of the devil. But here we are tonight. We're singing his praises and worshiping him, and I feel freedom here tonight. I feel that release that we have because we're the children of the Lord. We know him. Praise the Lord. He's done a work in our lives. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, again, Lord, that you've been so good to us, that you brought us out of that miry clay, Lord. Oh, God, you took us, Lord, from that pit where we had been, Lord, oh, God, and delivered us and set us free, Lord. You gave us hope, Lord, that we might be your children and that we might live for you, Lord, that we might know you, God. Oh, God, that we, oh, God, might be participants of thy eternal inheritance, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, God. We could never praise you enough. We could never worship you enough. Oh, God, we could never rejoice enough, Lord. But, oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for these moments that you've given us here tonight. This freedom that we have here at the moment, oh Lord, this ability, Lord, this little place that you've given us, Lord. I pray that you talk to us, Lord. I pray that you'd use our message here tonight, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, that you'd use it to strengthen us, to work in us, to motivate us, God, to get us to that higher ground. Oh Lord, for here we are, we're pilgrims and we're strangers in this world. Oh Lord, we're bound for, oh Lord, the heavenly land, oh Lord, that you have, oh Lord, declared for your people and set aside for your people, oh Lord. But I pray, oh God, that you give us that strength that we need, O Lord, to yet endure, Lord. O God, O to do thy will, to stand fast in spite of all the opposition. And O God, all the upsets in this world, all the times our faith is attacked, Lord, I pray, O God, you give us that great strength, that great faith that we need, Lord Jesus, to live in victory, Lord, to know you, and to, O God, to live beyond the realms of the flesh, Lord. Oh God, but to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to know you, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you work in us tonight. God, that you set us free, that you guide and direct this word in Jesus' name. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd move, Lord God, that you move in lives. God, I pray, oh Lord, that you not only change us, but oh Lord, that you bring salvation to those that are bound, oh Lord, those that are captive by the will, the hold of the enemy, Lord, the devil, oh Lord, and all his cohorts. I pray, oh God, a mighty deliverance in the name of Jesus, even here tonight, Lord. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name, and thank you, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As God's children, we all have a message to tell. We've all got something because God has done such a wonderful deliverance in our lives. And, oh, we have something to rejoice about it. thank God we were singing those songs of deliverance tonight, you know, and I love that, you know, there's just, you know, a great release in that too, and God only knows, you know, if we could really worship Him in spirit and in truth, oh, all the heavens can open up and we can be in those heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing more wonderful than being in God's presence. Oh, praise the Lord. I know I've told this story before. And I just pray that it would be repeated. But I just remember again when our oldest son, Nate, was a little boy. And yeah, he was just, like he's been in a bunch of mischief and all that sort of thing. And I remember his dad told him he had to come up here and pray. And I'll tell you what, God met with him that Sunday morning. And you know what, I know he felt God's presence. And, you know, just as, you know, he's just trying to express it. He's quite young, maybe 4 or something. And, you know, he said, oh, that was wonderful. You know, he felt Jesus. And I'll tell you what, there is nothing to be compared with being in the presence of the Lord when you know all is well and you feel that calm and that peace, that joy, and you know all the things that have been hindering, all the mountains that seem to be, you know, huge in our lives suddenly are down. You know, they're smashed, they're insignificant because God has met with us. We've been in His presence and we've felt His touch and He's changed us and He's given us faith to overcome. Oh, praise the Lord, faith to be a light in this world that is so dark. Oh, and so full of emptiness and void. Oh, praise the Lord. God is wonderful. Our God is true. Praise the Lord, and He is here with us, people. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in His name. Oh, yes, He promised that He would be with us in our very midst. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. He is with His people. And, you know, when we worship Him, oh, yes, He lives in the praises of His people. He inhabits the praises of His people. There's something about it. When those praises well up in your heart, God lives in those praises and His presence comes down. We can feel Him. We can be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. There's no better place to be. I mean, someday we're going to be with Him forever, but, you know, we get these little moments where we get these, you know, these special times and how it helps us. How it encourages us and lifts us up. How we need those moments. Oh, yes, in the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be studying in the book of Ephesians. And, you know, I see it such a wonderful book as far as an example of the life of a Christian. It just has so many exhortations, things that are practical for the life of a believer. And I just had been thinking about this and studying the first chapter. And of course, you know, you might just want to know where it is. It's from Paul. There on his journeys. He worked with the church at Ephesus here in Asia Minor. Of course, it's quite a distance. We, you know, got a little Israel down here. But, you know, he was quite a ways from home. But, you know, Paul, how he traveled. He reached a great deal of known worlds. But Ephesus, one of the cities here, of course, one of the 7 churches in the book of Revelation, too, right here, there with the Asia Minor. And just thank God for the work that he established there. And I guess it would just be fitting as we are about to begin this chapter just to turn at least for a little bit to the 19th chapter of Acts. Because I think this is where this church was established. And oh boy, how exciting these moments must have been. And I could just imagine it as we read, just a little bit what it was like. But here we are, the 19th. Chapter of Book of Acts. And here Luke is also writing, as he wrote this book. It says in the first verse, And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now, here it was, obviously, he says he found certain disciples, but they were obviously disciples of John the Baptist. And, you know, you always wonder what, you know, questions maybe Paul asked when he would find believers, when he find people, and I'm sure he was led by the Holy Ghost. But in this case, the question that he asked them first was, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And here in verse 5 it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So praise the Lord, this is the beginning of this church at Ephesus, and already they have been baptized by John the Baptist. But, you know, they didn't come up with arguments when, you know, Paul told them that they need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They didn't argue with him at all. They were willingly baptized, obviously. It says when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, they needed that name that is above all names. They needed that authority, that power that comes with that saving name of the Lord Jesus. So they went down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus. And after they had been baptized, Paul laid his hands on them. And praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost came on them. And how could they tell? Because they spoke with tongues. And they were prophesying as the Spirit of God came upon them. And it tells us, and all the men were about 12. So these wonderful dozen here, they were now ready to go forth and declare the works of God. And it tells us that Paul went to the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months there in Ephesus, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil that way before the multitude, departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. And listen to this. So that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. It's amazing how God puts us in specific places for a specific time to do his will. And here it was at Ephesus, and you know, as his manner was, he went to the synagogue first and tried to reach the Jewish people. And you know, as was typical, and most of all the places he went, after a little while, they couldn't bear him anymore. When he bore down on the doctrine, they couldn't stand him anymore. So he had to leave that synagogue. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't believe. But God gave him another place. Oh, yes. God gave him a place to speak in the school of one Tyrannus. And he was able to speak there daily. And it must have been quite a place, because in the space of those 2 years while he ministered there, it says, all they that dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So obviously there was a lot of coming and going from that school. And I'm sure that he was, you know, as he was teaching, they went forth and spread the gospel also. And, you know, it was working. It was wonderful. And it was a time, you know, before radio, before television, before telephones, and all the other little things we have to communicate with these days. And yet, God wrought His word far and near, and they all heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And not only that, it says in verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Oh, we were singing those songs of deliverance, and oh, praise the Lord. It was so in the early church. Oh, yes, they realized that Paul was preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, and there was power and that authority in that name, and there were miracles that were coming forth, and so they were bringing aprons and handkerchiefs to him that he would anoint them and pray over people, and you know, I'm sure he was laying on his hands, and those evil spirits were leaving, they were departing, and they were being set free from all the horrendous things that the devil had tried to bind them with. And there were some vagabond Jews, it tells us in the 13th verse here, they were exorcists, and they decided they were going to try to do what Paul was doing. So it says in verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, who Paul preached. And it says there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. But I'll tell you what, they didn't have that authority. They had not repented. They were not baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had not received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And all those devils knew it. They weren't fooled, and they weren't coming out. Instead, they said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are ye? Oh, they didn't have that authority. They didn't have that power. They weren't covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. But God used this. And you know, it's so amazing. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. And you know, obviously, here's this event, and you know, these seven sons of Sceva, and you know, those evil spirits had leaped on them and overcome them, and you know, they ran out of the house naked and wounded. But the event spread; it spread the gospel. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on all them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, He's able to take the events of our life and make sense of them. Oh, yes, as we give them over to Him, He's able to take the things that the enemy would try to bring upon us. But God knows how to reverse the acts of the enemy. Oh, yes, and turn them around for His name's sake. For the gospel's sake. And it tells that many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Oh, yes, there was a true spirit of repentance. It says, many of them also, which is curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Oh, yes, the Lord was working mightily in those that had been involved in witchcraft, curious arts, had books all that pertained to such. Realized it was time to get rid of them. Oh, there was no place in their heart for those kind of materials anymore. They needed to get rid of them, and so they did. They burned those items, even though they were valuable. Don't we did sell them or trade them. They let them go. They showed their works. They showed their deeds. They brought them together and they burned them. before all men. It was a display of repentance. It was a display of turning their hearts to the Lord. And they counted the price of them, found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Oh, the Lord bless that. It says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it was a wonderful thing. And you know, Paul was able to minister there for the space of 2 years. And all these things were happening. And he, as this chapter does continue, it does end up that there was a riot there as the Ephesians worshipped the goddess Diana. And, they didn't like it that there were many that were turning away from their evil deeds and the silver shrines and all the things that pertained to the idolatry. And so they wanted to get rid of that gospel. They wanted to get rid of Paul. But I'll tell you what, the Lord worked mightily. Oh, and there was, in spite of a great uproar that day, the Lord took care of it. And I believe those saints continue to be established in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now I'm going to turn to the book of Ephesians. And this, of course, is one of the letters that Paul wrote to that very church. And let's just see what he told them, because, you know, what was relevant at that time is relevant for us today. So praise the Lord. And there's much deepness in this wonderful letter that he wrote, this wonderful epistle to the church of the Ephesians there at Ephesus. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. We talked a little bit about that already. Oh, yes. That wonderful privilege we have as God's children to gather, to be in that place where we could be in the very presence of the Lord, those heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And here, yes, he's addressing the saints that are at that church and to the faithful. I believe they shared these letters. It was, you know, a really neat thing to, I'm sure, get a letter from Paul. And he was at Rome when he wrote this. And, of course, this is down the road from the time that church was established in the 19th chapter of Acts. So here he is. And how exciting it must have been as he addressed the saints. Oh, yes, those, the body of Christ that was in that church. And all the faithful in Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, that includes us too. And it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then he begins to tell how we've been chosen. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I'll tell you what, sometimes people don't know what to think of some of this, but God knew us, you know, before we were born. He knew us, obviously, before the world was created, from what this verse tells us. And he ordained us, he called us, he chose us. And not only that, but that we should be holy, that we should be a holy, separate people without blame before him in love. And I'll tell you what, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be filled with a people that have lived in that condition, holy in holiness and without blame before God in love. Because not only did he call us and choose us, but he put it within our hearts, that desire to separate ourselves from the world. We're the called out one. The church is the called out one. The ecclesia has been called out of the world into his glorious kingdom. And those things that once were big parts of our lives all begin to change. Oh yes, as we turn our lives over to the Lord. Oh, those things that we were once addicted to, leave in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Those devils, oh, that try to stir us and antagonize us and, oh, would hardly leave us alone. Oh, can go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. All the things that he's reserved for his people, that we could be his holy, spotless church. And praise the Lord. Not only that, but there was that predestination, as it tells us in verse 5, even having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Of course, who could know the mind of Christ? You know, who's going to dispute with him? Who's going to argue with God? Truly no one. It's all according to his plan and his purpose. That called out church, oh yes, God puts it within his people to withdraw from that world of sin. Oh yes, to turn their lives over, because we know that sin is not going to enter into heaven. Just turning to Revelation 21 for a moment. Of course, I'll be going back to Ephesians. It says in Revelation 21, verse 27, he's talking about that new heaven. In fact, let's go back to verse 22. That new heaven and that new earth, as John saw it, he said in verse 22, and I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. In verse 27, let's note it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh yes, God did predetermine, God did predestinate, God did call out and choose a people whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. But his people turn from their evil ways. Oh yes, there's no pleasure in sin. But for a season, when we really give our lives to the Lord, we want no part of it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So those that enter into that city, there can be nothing that defiles, nothing that's filthy, nothing that's wicked, nothing that worketh abomination. The things that are despised by God, the abominations in God's sight, oh, there's going to be no one there that worketh abominations or that maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, oh, praise the Lord. And so it is, those that were chosen before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, as it tells us in Ephesians, the first chapter. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Oh, that wonderful adoption that he worked in our lives. You know, if we turn just to the chapter before, the letter before, the book of Galatians, and look at the fourth verse, it tells us in the fourth verse of Galatians 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." When it was time for him to bring forth that new covenant, the fullness of the time, he was going to introduce that new covenant that would be in his blood, that fullness of the time. When it was come, when it was ready, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Oh yes, God putting his flesh in an earthly vessel and putting himself under his own law. It says in verse 5, "to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Oh yes, that he might redeem us, that he might make us free. Oh yes, that we might, oh yes, be forgiven our sins, our trespasses, all those things that condemned us. And also that we might be adopted into the family of God. Oh yes, the whole family of God is named after Jesus Christ. Oh yes, we're born again of the water and of the Spirit. We take on his name in the waters of baptism. And then we receive the wonderful Spirit of adoption as the Holy Ghost comes into our heart. And it tells us in verse 6 here in Ephesians 4, "Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Oh, that endearment, we become his children. And so we can call him Daddy. We can call him Father. Oh yes, because we are now in the family of God. And it tells us in verse 7, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful things that he has reserved for them that love him. You know, we've not seen them yet. We don't know them yet, you know, but they're reserved for his people, those that he has chosen from the foundation of the world, those that he has adopted into his family. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And, you know, just turning again to another place, 1 Peter, the first chapter there, going back to the end of the New Testament, closer to the end. 1 Peter, I like the way Peter addresses his epistle to the strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Here's Peter, he's writing to those churches that were Gentile. Kind of an amazing thing here. You look at the first chapter of 1 Peter. It says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." And then he says, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." So again, there we see, even though they were strangers from the first covenant, well, they had been adopted into the family of God. And not only that, they were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God knowing all along those that would be his. And then making it possible through sanctification of the Spirit. We were made holy by the Spirit of the living God. He puts his approval onto us, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that blood that's applied to our hearts when we come to him in repentance. Oh, and surrender to his will, and obeying the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He brings us into the family of God. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, that's what's waiting for the children of God. Oh, what a description there. Inheritance incorruptible. Something that doesn't decay. Something that can't be taken away. I mean, everything on earth here is temporary. It's for a moment. We might inherit, you know, $1,000, $1,000,000. We might inherit a mansion here on earth, but it's corruptible. It's just for a moment. It could disappear at any moment. It could be burnt up. And it will be eventually. But the inheritance that he has reserved for his people is one that's incorruptible and undefiled. Oh, there's no sin. There's no blemish. Oh, there's nothing negative. Oh, but the inheritance that he's reserved for his people. He says that fadeth not away. It can't be taken away. It's not corruptible. You know, rust can't defile it, or anything else in this world. There's no way to harm the things that are reserved for God's children, for his people, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, yes. Oh, it's all going to come out. You know, there at the last time, we'll know each other. We'll be, oh, yes, we'll all be revealed as part of the family of God. And praise the Lord, he knows how to keep that, oh, which we've all given unto him. Oh, those things that we've committed unto him against that day. He knows how to keep that. How he knows how to keep us by his power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those things that are reserved for God's people. So going back to Ephesians, the first chapter, again, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And you know, it is so up to God how he did it. You know, you're just to catch a few verses in Romans 8th chapter for a moment. It describes that process a little bit. There in Romans 8th chapter, and looking at the 28th verse, Romans 8, following the book of Acts there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts, and then we have Romans. And it says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And then it tells us in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. And we've been talking about his foreknowledge in these verses that we've been reading. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. He made us just by the blood of the Lamb. And whom he also justified, them he also glorified. Oh, there's that moment where we're going to be glorified when we make it home to heaven. Praise the Lord. And so it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. There's no one that can stand against us if God is with us. Oh, yes, he knows our steps. He ordains our steps. Oh, and he goes with us. And he turns around the thing. Oh, yes, the enemy might meet it for evil, but God knows how to make it for good. And it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Oh, praise the Lord. There's nothing that can come in the way of God's people. Oh, yes, we're covered by his blood, and we're ordained to that heavenly place. Oh, praise the Lord. And not only that, if we go back to Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted and beloved. First we see that process wherein he has called us. You know, it wasn't by any of our works. It wasn't by any of our righteousnesses. There's nothing like that, because all of that was just as filthy rags. There was nothing we could do, but praise the Lord, to the glory of his grace, he made us accepted in the beloved. And that's a wonderful thing, that he would make us accepted in the beloved. Because I'll tell you what, we could have never gotten to that place of our own volition. Oh yes, you know, just wanting to be a child of God isn't enough. It's the Lord who calls us, who ordains us and puts it within us to turn from our evil ways. And you know, it wouldn't be within us to do so if there hadn't been that call to repentance, which he put within us. And you know, we thank the Lord for it. It's such a miracle that we could see our need to turn to the living God. Oh, it's such a miracle. We could all rejoice in that. We might have been out there just filthy, horrendous sinners, doing whatever pleased us. In fact, if we turn to the second chapter of Ephesians for a moment, those first verses, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened." Oh, that means he made you alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, we all were in that place where we were dead, spiritually dead. We were dead in those trespasses and sins. And it says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." See, we were out there as others at this moment walk. But he's stating here, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. We were out there, we were sinners, doing what seemed good to us, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh yes, doing our own pleasure, walking according to the lusts of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature the children of wrath. But praise the Lord, he tells us in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." Oh, that call came forth. We were sinners, and yet that call came forth. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." And here it is again, "and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Oh, praise the Lord, those wonderful blessings that fall to the children of the Lord. We can sit together and rejoice in the God of our salvation, who has wrought such a wonderful salvation. Oh yes, that we can see and understand and turn from our evil ways. Praise the Lord, finding the Lord Jesus. Oh, and knowing what it's like to be freed from sin. Oh, praise the Lord, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. He changes that path that we were on. Oh, yes, yeah, so that we could do his workmanship. We could be his work. We could do good works that are a blessing to the kingdom of God. Those things that he has ordained that we should walk in them. And then it tells us, oh, how we were, especially as Gentiles. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, if at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, that was our status. That was the way we stood. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity. Thereby, he's talking about reconciling both Jew and Gentile, so there would be no difference, so that we both, whether we're Jew or whether we're Gentile, we could be reconciled to God, that we could be made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful gift. Oh, yes, he took away the thing that divided us, all those ordinances that couldn't be lived in perfection according to them. And he's reconciled everything so that we might be brought together by the cross in one body. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So we've been accepted in the beloved. And what a wonderful thing. He didn't have to accept us. Oh no. We could have be out there, as so many are at this present time, so far away from God, as we read, aliens and strangers. But God made it possible for us to come to him, that call to repentance. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Praise the Lord. It talks about that in the book of Colossians too. Just to go to a few verses in the first chapter of Colossians, you'll turn just a few pages to this letter written to the church at Colossae. And here again, Paul is addressing them, talking about how Jesus Christ, in verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Oh, praise the Lord. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Who else could make us such? Who else could take our sins, all those filthy deeds of our past, those things that separated us from God? But now we've been restored, we've been reconciled, so that one day he can present us as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, looking at us and seeing no sin, seeing no error, but being made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ so that we can stand before Him. And it mentions if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Oh yes, you can't be removed from this gospel. It's an endurance test. It's until the end. But if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Oh, praise the Lord, if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Oh, it's in our heart, it's deep, we're not going to turn back. We know in whom we have believed. Oh, yes, and we don't want anything. We won't allow anything to take us from that love that is in Christ, or to move us away from that wonderful gift that He has given us. Praise the Lord. Because by His grace, He's going to present us as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. We could just continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, going back to Ephesians, the first chapter, He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Something that only He could do, that, oh yes, we can stand in His sight. And it tells us in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. I'll tell you what was that mystery of His will? If we just turn a few pages to the third chapter of Ephesians, we have an explanation here. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And this was it. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. This was part of the program of God. This would be part of the new covenant that God would bring forth, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Oh yes, this is what He had ordained. And that's all they didn't understand. That was the knowledge of the mystery that He had purposed in Himself, that there was going to be this time when He was going to bring forth a new covenant and He was going to reconcile both Jews and Gentiles together in one body, that we might all be gathered together in the fullness of time. And of course, yes, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, as we read there from Galatians, the fourth chapter, the fourth verse. That was His plan, that was His provision, and they didn't understand it until it came to pass. But praise the Lord for it. Oh, we are so blessed to be heirs in the family of God. It says, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And we've been reading about that inheritance, that uncorruptible inheritance, that undefiled inheritance. Oh, yes, has been reserved for God's people. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. I'll tell you what, you just can't dispute with God. And oh my, you know, why would we want to, really? But I like how it is in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, when God, because He could swear by no other, He's noting how he swore by himself. It was the custom at that time under Abraham and under the old covenant to swear by the greater, but there was no greater than God. So what did he do? He swore by himself.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, because it was necessary for those moments. An oath was a confirmation to end all strife. And he was willing to show, he wanted to make sure that they understood that those promises that he had given them were yea and amen. That he meant what he said. He promised to Abraham that his seed would be as the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven. He was going to bring forth children and bless him abundantly. But he wanted to make sure that it was confirmed by an oath, and it was by two immutable things that he swore that it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Praise the Lord, what God has said, it's yea and amen. There is no nay to it at all. It's confirmed. It's going to stand regardless of what individuals may say. Oh, regardless of what people might write in books or declare. Oh, it will stand. And I praise the Lord. Oh, there is none greater than what God has declared. It will come to pass. It's the counsel of his own will, as it explains in that 11th verse of Ephesians 1. And I'm so thankful that our lives are in God's hands. It's a wonderful thing that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And what a wonderful thing that was. He had promised that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit to his people. Just looking at the 24th chapter of Luke here for a moment. These words were spoken right before Jesus ascended, and he was, you know, he was commissioning his disciples at that point. And here it is. Luke, the 24th chapter, the very last chapter of the book of Luke, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. And praise the Lord, all those prophetic utterances, every single one of them were fulfilled. Oh yes, they should have known who he was. Oh, it was all verified, and to the very letter, it was fulfilled. But then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Well, there were so many things that he said to them while he walked this earth that they didn't get. But there was this time where they were going to see and understand that which was written. Verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Oh yes, here's the gospel. This is what was to follow. Repentance and remission of sins, and praise the Lord. Thus, sins are remitted in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Exactly as it declares there in verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And then he said in verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And we know here he had promised that he would send the promise of his Father upon them. Oh yes, it's going to come, but you go to Jerusalem, you go wait, you go tarry till you be endued with that power from on high, until you're filled with that power from on high. He knew that there was something that they needed that they didn't yet have. They didn't yet have the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, and he had told Peter just a couple chapters before, the 22nd chapter of Luke, that when he was converted, that he was to strengthen his brethren. He'd followed the Lord, he believed on the Lord, but yet Jesus said to him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Oh, he'd just like to turn you into nothing. Oh, he'd like to make a fool out of you, Simon. But thank God, Jesus said, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Oh, when that change comes upon you, you go strengthen your brethren. Peter thought he had great strength at that point. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. But Jesus said in verse 34, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And so it happened. Oh, yes, as Jesus was there in Pilate's judgment hall. Oh, Peter was trying to follow from afar, but when they inquired who he was, and did he, you know, wasn't he also with that one there, that Galilean, isn't he, you know, wasn't he with that Jesus? Oh, he didn't have the strength to admit that he was a follower of the Lord Jesus. He didn't have that strength, and he denied Jesus three times. Well, I'll tell you what, just as Jesus had told him before the cock would crow three times, that he would have denied him. And so it was. And you know, there he was a little later in this 22nd chapter. Oh, yes. As he denied, it tells us how he followed afar off in verse 54. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he said, he denied him. He said, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And again, you know, Peter couldn't go there. He said, man, I am not. And he tells us verse 59, about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And again, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And some of the Gospels say that he said it with an oath. You know, he was not going to admit that he knew Jesus. It says, immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Oh, there was Jesus. And he saw Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Oh, I'll tell you what a moment. Then he got it. Oh, he realized what he had just done. He didn't have that strength to stand up for the one that he loved. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I praise the Lord. He was forgiven, of course, and thank the Lord. There is forgiveness in spite of our failures. Oh, in spite of the things that we have done. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord forgives and takes those sins and remits them in the waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, there was something that Peter needed that he didn't have at that moment. And Jesus had said that he would send the promise of his Father upon them, his disciples, all those that needed him so desperately, needed a strengthening, that strength to witness, that strength to endure, that strength to stand up. And they were told what to do. Go tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued, empowered with that power from on high. Oh, praise the Lord. We know what happened that day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, they did that. They went to Jerusalem. They were assembled there together. Oh, yes, they took care of the things they needed to take care of, but they were also seeking for that promise of the Father that he had told them that he would pour out upon them. And I love how it happens. Again, what God said he will do, he will do. We know that day of Pentecost came. They were all with one accord. They were in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. There in the second chapter of Acts, filled all the house where they were sitting. It was as if it was the breath of God coming into that place to do its work. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. All the split tongues that they could see. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. No wonder Peter could stand up after that and declare, oh, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Oh, yes, in the last days, God said, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, oh, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit. Oh, yes, and they shall prophesy. And that's what happened. Oh, yes, as he poured out of his Spirit, and there was evidence. The Holy Ghost had come upon them. They all began to speak with other tongues. Oh, as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And you know, they were gathered about, all diverse people there from every part of the earth, of the known earth there. They were gathered at Pentecost, and they all marveled because they could hear each of them speak in their own native tongue. They hadn't learned those languages. They would have known them on their own. They hadn't studied those languages. The Spirit of God came upon them. And oh yes, that God has taken that unruly member, that old tongue, and began to talk to them as he was bringing forth his Spirit, all which he had promised, that promise of the Father. It had come upon them. And so, as it tells us here, and I don't believe I'm going to be able to finish this chapter tonight, but it tells us in Ephesians, this first chapter, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, what a wonderful thing when God puts his Spirit upon our very being.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And he tells us here, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. What is it? The Holy Ghost, that Spirit of promise. Oh, that's the earnest of our inheritance, that wonderful inheritance that's reserved in the heavens for us. Oh, yes, that wonderful inheritance for the children of God, his adopted sons and daughters. But it's the down payment. He puts it within us. Because, praise the Lord, he's coming back again. Oh, yes, he told us in John, the 14th chapter, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. And then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, yes, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, yes, he went to prepare a place for his children. Oh, yes, that where he is, there we may be also. Just as, those that beheld Jesus ascend into heaven, as they marveled, as they looked, and they saw him leave this earth. And those angels, that were there, spoke forth and told them that this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Oh, this same Jesus. Oh, they watched him going steadfastly into heaven. There he went until the clouds covered him. Oh, I'm sure their eyes were fixed as Jesus ascended into the heavens till a cloud received him out of their sight. But praise the Lord. Oh, there is that promise that same Jesus, which they watched, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's going to come back. He's coming back for his purchase, his possessions, the earnest of his inheritance, the things, that he's reserved unto himself, his children, his family, his people, that have been bought with a price. His adopted children. Praise the Lord, because he's going to present it to himself, that glorious church, as it tells us in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, the church that washed and sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, by the washing of the Word, the washing of water by the Word, that he might present it unto himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what our God was doing for us. He was making us acceptable to him. Oh, he's putting his Spirit upon our very being, upon our very person, so that one day we can be that part of the glorious church that is without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that church that is holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord, the called out ones. Oh, yes, those that have been adopted into the family of Christ, the sanctified ones that he has reserved for himself. He put his Spirit within us, that Holy Ghost of promise, the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Oh, yes, he's coming back for his people. Oh, yes, those heirs of his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Praise those that have been redeemed through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And we have so much to thank him for. You know, our praises begin now, but it's for all eternity. We're going to be forever with the Lord. And those praises that we feel now are going to just weld up all those living waters that were within us. Oh, how much the more as we eternally praise our God and worship before that throne, know that we have been redeemed, from the foundation of the world, that we've been set apart and ordained unto eternal life. There's not going to be anything, but great thanksgiving and rejoicing for what he has done for us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, we just thank you again. Oh, Lord, that you would buy us. Oh, Lord, that you'd make a way for us. Oh, God, that you would put your Spirit within us as earthen vessels, and that you would call us, oh, Lord. Oh, that you choose us and, predestined in us, oh, Lord, to be your sons and daughters. We thank you, Lord, and ask, oh, Lord, do you make us worthy, and do you help us to hold on unto the end, oh, Lord, and, oh, God, to never forget, oh, Lord, what you have done for us. to be worthy of that calling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our God.
Praise the Lord. Well, as we were hearing about being endued with power from on high, a song popped into my head. It's number 191 in the hymnal, Old Time Power, number 191.
Just now.